and welcome to a new episode of GSSV's podcast, GSSV on Air. This episode is special to our podcast team for so many reasons. One of them is, as you might have noticed, that this is the first time we welcome you guys in English. But another, much more important reason, is that we can present you with our very first interview on here today. Thanks to the marketing team that brought us in touch with our great interview partner, Lena and I got to virtually meet Taiden Yuan a few days ago and had the opportunity to ask him questions about a wide variety of topics, including some about his career, UC Berkeley, his experience at GSSV, his hobbies, and what it was like going to school with the twin brother. But before we get to all of that, we should probably let Taiden introduce himself to the listeners who may or may not know him already. So, Taiden, do you want to get us started?
Yeah, so I'm Taiden. I was at the GSSV from 6th grade through the end of 12th grade, and I graduated in 2016. Afterwards, I attended UC Berkeley, and there I graduated with a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering and computer science in 2019, and then with a master's degree in 2020. And currently, I am an embedded software engineer at Neuro. And so Neuro is a company that builds autonomous grocery delivery robots. And what I'm doing there is I'm working on the radar software.
That sounds very cool. I just have to say, that sounds very impressive. Oh. So could you just walk us through a little bit, like what your day-to-day work is, like what your role at the company is, I suppose?
So I'm an embedded software engineer, working on the radars. And so what that means is that I develop the software that runs on our radar chips that actually sit on top of these autonomous vehicles. And so I'm responsible for maintaining the communication with these radars, also for the data processing that happens on the chip before we send all this data to the the perception or to the onboard actual software to determine where to turn, where the obstacles are, and so on.
Those seem to be some challenging tasks. Does your job consist of lots of practical work as well, maybe even with the actual vehicles, or is it mostly theoretical?
Yeah, so a lot of this is practical work. So implementing stuff, adding error checking, and those things. The data processing is, we just add some features that we need for our use case. But it's mostly a lot of just software programming and just running and testing it on the actual hardware.
Is this something that you were kind of always interested in doing in terms of is this always the professional field you wanted to go into? Or is that, something you were always interested in?
Oh, yeah. So I think in high school, I really enjoyed physics class. And the physics curriculum at GSSV really emphasized electromagnetics. So I definitely knew that I wanted to do something related to electrical engineering. And so I went into UC Berkeley, and I really enjoyed, so UC Berkeley is kind of unique in that the double E, so electrical engineering and computer science, they're in the same department. So that means that I was free to take classes in CS, but I could also take classes in EE as well. And so what I ended up doing was taking a mix of both hardware classes and software classes. And this is why I really decided to do embedded software, because it's at the interface right between the hardware level and the software level.
How nice to see that your favorite subject from school was what originally sparked an interest in you for the work you're doing now. It's also great that the program at UC Berkeley really seems like it let you dive into whatever aspects interested you the most.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to what extent do you think that UC Berkeley and the variety of things that you were free to learn there then prepare you for the actual tasks that you're performing on a daily basis now?
So I did classes in algorithms, optimization, operating systems, those things. And then on the hardware side, I was actually interested first in circuits. So I took a lot of circuits classes. And then I took some signals and controls classes. So I basically touched on everything like a little bit. And I think this, or not everything applies to what I'm doing. For example, I'm not doing actual hardware design, but a lot of it carries over. So for example, on the software side, since I'm writing low-level software, a lot of the operating systems knowledge is useful. And since I'm working with radars, which do a lot of signal processing, so that stuff was also applicable to what I'm doing right now.
So it sounds like UC Berkeley prepared you very well for the work that you do now. That sounds really very helpful. So what was your like overall experience at Berkeley like? Was it what you expected, or were there things that you kind of hadn't expected before?
Oh, well, I definitely knew going in that Berkeley was going to be much different from GISSV.
Right.
And the main difference is that Berkeley has like a few tens of thousands of undergrads on the same campus, while GISSV is only a few hundred. And so I knew that it was going to be a much larger school. But I think that it was, like, besides this main difference, it was a really great experience. I really enjoy, you know, staying late inside the labs and then trying to like work with other students to finish a project or something. I really enjoyed talking to other students in the same field who are just as interested in this field as I was. And then Berkeley also offered a lot of like opportunities for students. So there are a lot of clubs that you could join. I personally didn't do too many clubs. What I did instead was to become a TA. So I was a TA for six semesters for an introductory EE class. And so I think that really helped me develop my communication skills. And also I think the best way to learn is actually to teach it. And that really like helped me learn the fundamentals of the fundamentals of EE just by teaching the class.
Yeah, I've heard that teaching something to others definitely is one of the best ways to manifest knowledge and to develop a thorough understanding of it. And as you mentioned, when you first started out at UC Berkeley, you came from a comparatively small school and went straight into this big university with thousands of students, a lot of whom share the same interests. So did the classes feel in any way different, maybe in terms of size or the attention you were getting? And another question would be, do you still stay in touch with your former classmates from GISSV?
Yeah, so I still stay in touch with just a few of my classmates. I think most of them are studying in Europe right now. So only a very few actually stayed in the US. But I think the class size, so even though Berkeley is so huge, the class sizes themselves, for example, like in discussions or in labs, they're still pretty small. So they're still limited to like 20, 30 people. So it's not like walking in and then you have 800 people in the same classroom, which does happen for lectures. But when you're actually like doing exercises or working on a project, then it's much smaller and you get to know all the people in the class and the TAs. And there are a lot of TAs and professors who are willing to basically do one-on-one interactions with you. So it, even though it's so huge, it still felt very... it didn't feel very different from the small class sizes at GISSV.
So it sounds like within that really big community, there were also some very close-knit friendships and groups to be had. That sounds really nice. Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about the accelerated master's program that you were participating in?
Yeah. So Berkeley has a fifth-year master's program. And so this is a unique one-year master's program that's offered to Berkeley undergraduates. And it's a research-based master's program that culminates in a master's thesis. And so in my third year, so as a junior at UC Berkeley, I realized that a lot of the classes that I was interested in, they're cross-listed as graduate classes. So what that means is that you could take it as an undergrad, but you can also take it as a grad class. they're just a little, you just have to do a little bit more homework, or there's like a something extra you have to do for a project. And so I realized that I could just apply for this fifth year master's program in my third year. So I would actually do it in my fourth year, because a lot of the classes, they overlapped between the undergrad and the grad program. So I actually applied at the end of my junior year, and I got in. So I just decided to just graduate early after my third year and then do this master's program instead, which is basically a substitute for my fourth year at Berkeley.
Oh, that seems like it saves you some valid time, and it's convenient with the classes partially overlapping.
Mm-hmm.
Despite those classes, was the transition into the master's program hard? Or did you, for example, undergo a sudden increase of your workload or anything like that?
So it was actually pretty similar to the bachelor's program. The only difference is that there's a larger emphasis on research. So the classes were the same. So I took classes that I could have taken as undergrad as well. But the only difference was that I was classified as a grad student. And then I had to focus a lot on research. So for example, that's when I gave up TAing, because I needed to spend more time in lab and focus on, delivering stuff for research. So that was the main difference. But besides that, they were pretty similar in workload.
That sounds kind of fun. It's more like a practical approach, I guess, then. Do you mm-hmm. enjoy research a lot? Is that one of the reasons that you maybe chose the master's program?
So I'm actually considering going back to grad school in the future. And so I wanted to do some undergrad research. I realized that it's not a good idea to start as a freshman, because a lot of things are still unknown to you. But once you are a sophomore or junior, finding research, I think that's a really easy way to connect with a professor, and also to see if grad school is what you want to do. And for me, that was something that I enjoyed. I enjoyed like working in lab late. And so that's why I'm considering like going back for a PhD in a few years.
That's interesting. And it actually connects to one of our questions, because we were wondering whether what you're doing right now is basically your ultimate career goal, or if there are other things that you plan to do or achieve in the future.
Yeah. So right now, I think I'm at the point where I'm still trying to learn as much as possible. The more exposure I get, the better it is, regardless of the position. But I think in the future, I am considering going back to grad school, just because I really enjoyed learning. So Berkeley was pretty challenging, and it like injected a lot of knowledge into your head. And I really enjoyed that. And then like finding connections between different concepts. And so that's why I'm definitely considering going back.
That's really cool. And it sounds like that would be really great for you, since you really enjoy learning about this topic. Could you talk a little bit about the admissions process and getting into UC Berkeley, and what maybe were some of the challenges? All went down.
So the American the application system is definitely more time consuming than the German one.
So I've heard.
Yeah, and it starts much earlier. So it starts pretty much when you're in 10th grade. You have to start thinking about it. But applying to UC Berkeley was similar to applying to the to other colleges. So there's like an application you fill out. So I think for UC Berkeley, I think they have changed it now, but they ask you to write two essays. I think they changed it to a bunch of short responses instead. But I wrote about my interests. I wrote about math. I wrote about music. And then there's standardized testing. So the SAT scores, SAT 2 scores, the AP scores. I had to send all of them to UC Berkeley. And then obviously there's the at application fee. So it's like, I think 70 or 80 bucks per campus. So I think it was pretty, it was just like a standard, you know, write your essays about what you like to do, send your scores, and then basically it's in the admission committee's hands.
Okay, so as far as I can tell, that's a quite ordinary admission process, which you seem to have breezed through. You mentioned that you wrote one of your college essays about music. So do you or did you play an instrument, and were you maybe even a part of the GSSV orchestra at some point?
Yes, so I play piano and violin. And so when Herr Fugmann started the orchestra, I was, so me and my twin brother, we were actually part of the, we were there since the beginning until we graduated. And so that was a really fun experience. It was actually very special that GSSV, even though it's such a small school, actually had an orchestra. And that was a really great way for me to actually get involved in like playing with other people. In fact, I actually like playing an orchestra so much. In my first semester at Berkeley, I actually joined the UC Berkeley Symphony Orchestra. And but then after that semester, it was too time consuming, so I dropped it.
I see. Wow, that sounds really interesting. Like, I don't know. It's just very cool that your interest in music kind of carried over into your college life. And it's great that you had those opportunities. Yeah. Do you think that your interest in music was one of the things that maybe gave you an edge over other people applying to Berkeley, or do you think there were other things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think music-wise, so, I mean, a lot of people play music, and I think colleges want to see that you're interested in some extracurricular activity. So I don't think music, or yeah, a lot of people go in with extracurriculars. So I don't think it gave me like a specific advantage over other high schoolers. I think what really helped me was, so my other interest was math, and this was because of Frau Gens back then. So she organized the Mathe Känguru in the Olympiade at GSSV. And so I scored fairly well on those math competitions. So I was invited to travel to Germany three times for the next rounds. And I think that was something that was a really unique experience for me. And I wrote about this in my application essays. I think, so that was one advantage. I think another, what I liked about GSSV is that there are really few high schoolers. So I got a lot of, so Ms. Krajcek, the counselor, helped me a lot during the application. So she spent a lot of time reading through all my essays and editing them. And that was super helpful for me to get some feedback. And then, I want to thank her a lot for helping me through the admissions process. The last advantage, I think that's definitely true for GSSV, is the German language. That definitely helped me, especially for a, so Berkeley has this Regents and Chancellor Scholarship. And so when I interviewed for this scholarship, I talked about like the breadth of interest that I had. And then I talked about the diverse background. I know English, and then from GSSV, I knew German, French, and then at home I understood Mandarin. So this really helped me in, in getting this scholarship when I went into Berkeley.
Awesome. And yes, I mean, I haven't gone through that application process yet, so I can't really tell, but all of the things you talked about, from essay editing to counseling, are probably very important for your peace of mind as an applicant, to just know that you're giving it your best shot in order to use that one chance you have to make a good first impression on colleges.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so why did you choose GSSV for your high school education in the first place? Was there any specific connection to Germany that made you come to the school?
Not really. So my family doesn't have any ties to Germany. But I actually started in preschool. So my parents sent me and my twin brother to a German preschool. And so we attended a German preschool in kindergarten. And they decided to just keep us in a German school system. And then GSV was the only school that went up to high school and then also granted an American high school diploma and the Deutsche Abitur. So that's why we decided to switch to GSV when I was in sixth grade. And so we just stayed at that school until we graduated.
Yeah, that's one of the, I guess, benefits of GSSV is that it does go all the way through 12th grade. So you can just stay there if you so wish, which is really nice because then you don't have to switch schools. Yeah, that is a big advantage. Could you talk a little bit about, did you want to say something else?
Yeah. Right. So my backup plan was actually, if I didn't get into I could study in German if I wanted to, and that was an option for me if I didn't get into anywhere else, basically in the US.
Okay, I see. Yeah, that's, I think a lot of people like in my grade also have kind of said that that's their plan as well, to apply here. And then if they don't really get into a school they really are passionate about, they can still go to Europe. Mm-hmm. So that's also a big advantage. What about being, I guess you're not just bilingual, you're trilingual. What are the benefits of that in your life these days? Do you still use German or any of the other languages you speak?
Not really, actually. So right now I'm primarily just use English because we still speak Mandarin at home, although I usually respond in English. But I think a lot of the benefit comes from actually knowing the language and the culture behind the language. Like knowing about Germany, and then I still sometimes follow like the Tagesschau. And so I think that's really helpful to know what's happening on the other side of the world. An obvious benefit is if I ever wanted to visit Germany, then it'll be easier for me to, you know, find my way around. But I think it's just a good skill to have, especially in this global world right now. For example, there, I know like a few people at Neuro who speak German. It's also one person on the radar team. He actually studied in Germany. I think it's just a useful skill, even though I don't really use it in my day-to-day life right now.
Totally. Yeah, I think another huge benefit of learning another language besides the one you primarily speak is that you really come to understand the concept and the grammar schemes of your native language as they compare to a foreign one, and you get to discover the cultural differences and kind of the key characteristics of a language, which you would otherwise never be required to think about. Mm-hmm. Now, I would like to know, do you and your twin brother look alike or look the same, and how was it going to school with them?
So we're fraternal twins, so I don't think we look the same, so I wear glasses all the time pretty much, and my twin brother doesn't. So my twin brother Jove doesn't really wear glasses. So we basically just work together on, you know, group projects or to, you know, compare homework stuff. So just like another classmate. Some teachers did have troubles telling us apart, especially Hegois. But otherwise, I think it was just, you know, I don't think it was any. It was a huge difference.
Was there like kind of a friendly rivalry between you two? I'm just curious, since as I understand, you're both very successful people and you were very good at school, obviously.
So there's definitely some rivalry going on. But I think it was also good to, you know, bounce ideas back and forth. So for example, studying together, if, for example, on the English vocabulary quizzes, then you just bounce the vocabulary between each other. And it was also good to have someone else basically do the same. Like, we basically took the exact same classes and AP classes. And then so that was very useful to then, you know, tell each other about what something we found or that stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I have twins among my siblings as well, and as far as I can tell, it's practical to just be able to work on projects together or to practice for tests, as you already mentioned, and you don't need to set up meetings at other people's houses quite as much or drive around to get your stuff done.
Oh, right. Yep. Yeah, and then we were also, so we were both in the orchestra, so basically our timelines were exactly the same. So that was definitely a plus to have basically someone on your side the entire time.
Yeah, and it's less driving for your parents than if they have to drive one person to their like basketball game and the other one to the orchestra or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like it worked out very well for you. Do you have any advice for GISSV students, I guess specifically high school students, who would like to attend a university like or of the caliber of UC Berkeley in the future?
Yeah, so my personal opinion on like these high caliber universities is more like it's mostly high caliber because of the students. It's because if you like go to a different university and you're also studying the same field, the knowledge isn't different. Like 1 + 1 = 2 everywhere in the world. So it's mostly about the students and like that actually make a university like more challenging than others. But I think, so my advice to GSV high schoolers is that if you're deciding to go to an American university, then you should probably try to plan ahead. And so for example, so the main reason is because the American system has a lot of standardized testing. So for example, if you want to, a lot of people take AP classes and you also have to study for the SATs. And all of this stuff is not actually, or is like, for example, the SATs are not actually prepared for directly in the high school curriculum. So I would recommend them to, you know, go home, take some practice exams, do a lot of self-studying. So it requires a lot of self-motivation to basically study for all these standardized tests. And then just basically start early because the American application, the application deadline is like an entire semester earlier than the German one. If you're going for the German university system, I haven't had much experience with it, but from what I can tell, going through the Abitur myself, a lot of the knowledge that you get tested on is what's directly taught in the classroom. So there's not really a need to go out of the classroom, unlike the American system. So I think that's the main advice I give GSV high schoolers who are considering attending an American university.
That's very good to know. And what would you think GSSV students should expect if they were to attend a high caliber university? Is there more pressure from the professors to do well since the school has so many applicants and can therefore like pick and choose their students? Or is there rivalry among peers? Is that a thing at all?
So I think it's a lot of rivalry among, so like, for example, all the classes are curved. Basically, on the test, I think the tests are even the same. There might be like a little more material or more advanced material, but overall, I think it was challenging because a lot of the students they would also like, for example, on like a project at UC Berkeley, some would like make some extra feature or something for their project, or some would, you know, they already did this before back in high school. And then, so right now it seems like a piece of cake for them in college now. So the knowledge itself is the same, but it's just, you know, there is going to be competition among the students.
Yeah, I've heard that about very, I guess, well-regarded universities here, that often it's a little bit of an intense environment between the students, because obviously if you go to such a good school, you're very motivated to do well, which just makes sense, I suppose. I just wanted to ask, I think this could be our last question. Do you have like a favorite memory of your time at GSSV, or just like a favorite thing maybe that happened there, something of that nature?
I don't think there's like a specific, well, I have to think about a specific moment, but I think I definitely enjoyed like some of the classes that I took at GISSV. So for example, I really enjoyed, I enjoyed like all the STEM classes, the math, physics, chemistry. I think the teachers were like very qualified, and I really appreciated them for offering, you know, AP courses as well. So for calculus, chemistry, and then in physics, we did a lot of ENM, which was applicable when I studied for the AP physics exam. And then I really enjoyed like, one of my favorite classes was also German class, even though I don't use it anymore. But it was because like the teachers, they were really motivated, and I enjoyed, you know, I really enjoyed their interpretation of what we were reading, for example, and then like talking about like the literature. And I think all of that gave me like a really good breadth of knowledge. I think I wouldn't say there's one moment that I enjoyed, but it's more like I enjoyed the experience in my classes at GSSV.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of high school students, not only at GSSV, but more generally, who try to participate in a whole bunch of extracurriculars to impress colleges, but at the same time become quite stressed out as they have to still keep up their studies. How do you think that students can strike a good balance between schoolwork and activities that they engage in during their free time? And what is more important in regard to the colleges?
It's better to be good at one thing than to be mediocre at many things. I think it's better I don't know if this is actually true or not, but people just say that. So I will echo that. But a lot of people say that, you know, they want to see highly motivated students who basically do maximize their time. So they can maximize, like, for example, they can do like A, B, C, and D, and so on. But I don't think that's a good approach. I think what's a better approach is find what you'd like to do. So for me, for example, I enjoyed math, I enjoyed music. And then just focus on those things. And that's totally fine. Just be good at what you are passionate about. And then in your essays or in your applications, just talk about what you really enjoy doing. And then basically just be yourself. So don't feel pressured by admissions committees to then basically do 10 different things. And then while doing that, have your grades take a hit because you're running out of time. But basically just do what you enjoy doing and then just talk about it in your essays. And after that, it depends on what the admissions committee wants, right? Once they've read through your application, whether they like what you're doing or whether they think that, you know, someone else might be better or more suited for the university, right? So there's a lot of factors in admissions. So, right, also like culture fit, which you can't really change yourself. So yeah, just do what you like to do. And then everything else is up to the admissions people.
I think that's very good advice, especially because I see a lot of my peers and a lot of people in high school in general get very, I don't know, I think there is just a lot of pressure when you want to be in the American university system, because it is kind of a mysterious thing, right? Like the selection committee that decides who gets into the schools. And so I think there is a lot of pressure surrounding that. And I think some people try to sort of force themselves mm-hmm. to do things they don't really actually feel passionate about. I think that will be a comfort to some people to hear that just doing what you like is probably the best approach to get into a school.
Yeah. And then there are a lot of like factors that are out of your hands as well.
And everybody tends towards aiming to stand out, which obviously there are no real rules or guidelines for that. But since everybody's talents and preferences are so different, maybe just following those sort of makes people stand out in itself. What's your take on that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely true. And then everyone's circumstances are also different. So that also factors into your college admissions.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that is also maybe some people's frustration about the U.S. college system that, it's definitely geared towards more privileged households sometimes, which can be frustrating for some people. But I guess this ties into what you said, but just maximizing, you know, like what you have, making the best out of what it is that you have, is probably the best approach.
Right.
Awesome. So thank you so much for this interview. Is there anything else that you kind of wanted to mention that we haven't specifically asked about, or something like that?
So one thing that I really appreciated at JSSV was, or like I said, the small class sizes, because the teachers, they do give you a lot of personalized attention. They give you a lot of one-on-one attention. And then I really like that they like the concept of differentiation that JSSV promotes. I think that's very helpful. So because with this, like the for example, in the AP classes, the teachers, they provided me like a great fundamental from which then I could just, you know, then study for the AP exam and do practice exams outside of class. So, and then this was also, this also enabled me to basically like take part in the Mathe Kangaroo and the Olympiad. And so, so I want to thank like the teachers that I had for basically, you know, giving a lot of attention to the students and then letting them like do what they want to do.
I think that's a great conclusion to this interview. Thank you so much for doing this. Everything you said was very interesting and also helpful for all students who wish to study at a renowned university. And I'm sure the school community will very much enjoy listening to what you share with us today. So thank you so much again for doing this.
Yeah, I can only echo what Luana said. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this and giving us some of your insight.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We just want to say a big thank you to Titan for doing this interview with us and being willing to share his experience and give some advice. We're really grateful for this, and we wish him all the best on his professional endeavors in the future. And we think it's really awesome that he has an interest and he's really following it. So thank you to Titan. Also, thank you to the marketing team and Ms. Gadotti for helping us coordinate this interview. We hope that you enjoyed this episode of the podcast and that you'll tune in next episode. Until then, stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask, and we'll see you next time.